Welcome to the Shadowpoint Media Podcast, where we listen to stories from people like you who build dreams into businesses, and we learn together how the power of story helps us grow. Welcome to the Shadowpoint Podcast. Today, we have two guests. One is my beautiful baby, Laurel Jean. She just woke up from her nap. And our second, and more, I'm not going to say importantly, but more importantly, Mr. Ron Arenas from Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling. Thanks for coming on, Ron.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself, Ron, and tell us what inspired you to go into business for yourself.
Well, I'm Ron Arenas, Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. We started our business 22 years ago. So we've been here locally in Tucson and the surrounding areas since 2001. And I was working for a couple small HVAC contractors, and I just felt that it was time for me to go on my own and give it a shot. And I just felt that I could serve the community very well and do a fair and decent and honest job for people.
So tell us about the community that you serve. Tell us a little about the story behind how you built a connection with them. And as you can see, you're already getting applause from Laurel. So we're off to a great start.
Yeah. That's why I'm here, is to get applause from them. Well, the community we serve and how we kind of built that. Tucson has a couple different dynamics. I mean, one, of course, is the single residence family home, like all of us live in. But then it also has a lot of retirement communities. So what we call snowbirds are the people that come here anywhere from October through April every year. And then they go back home to the Midwest or up in the Northwest. And so one of our main things when we were, and still do, is building that trust within our customers. And a lot of our business is referral driven. So there's already some trust that's built in. It's a referral from someone they know. And then we go in and continue to build that trust and do a good job for them. And then a lot of times we get referrals from those customers.
Yeah, word of mouth marketing is next to an actual positive experience with an organization. That's the best marketing you can get. And I've experienced that. I know Logan's experienced that as well. What do you know what being said about your business by those customers that helped to build up those referrals? Do you know some of the stories, if you will, that they were sharing?
Oh, okay. I think some of the stories that they're sharing, and for a long time, I was the one that was out in the field. I was the one doing the installs, doing the service work myself. So they got to see the owner of the business. But also just that we won't tell you that something's broken that's not really broken, or we won't try to sell you something that you don't need. Sometimes there's some things that are add-ons that would be nice, maybe for some indoor air quality to help you with your allergies or clean up the air that's in your house, things like that. But it's not something that you would need this minute, or, you know, catastrophe is going to happen. So that's, you know, we always give people options, but we're not going to try to steer them in a way that's dishonest.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's huge. What are some of the interactions? So for me, if I were a customer and I were to hear a referral from a friend about your business, and I were to understand from them, they're not going to oversell, but they're going to tell you what you need and give you options. At the next stage of that relationship, if I'm talking to you or one of your employees now, what are some of the ways that you're able to communicate with me as a customer that I'm able to understand from a layman's perspective? All right, what they're saying sounds right. I think I can trust that what they're telling me is an actual need.
Right. A lot of times, and it depends on where your air conditioner is located in the house, but sometimes you have an air conditioner that's located maybe on the side of the house sitting on the ground, and we can bring the customer over and show them some visual things that that need to be replaced, or if your furnace is maybe in a closet or a garage, we can do the same thing. We can show them what's malfunctioning and what needs to be replaced. And then, of course, pictures. We have the technology on our proposals and our invoices that we can put pictures on there and show different stages, either what needs to be replaced, or we'll go through and put like the existing unit and then taking that out and putting the new unit in and having pictures of what we did.
That's one of the number one rules of storytelling is show, don't tell. So I love that, because you're able to actually show your clients, for, if I'm understanding you right, here's something that you can see there's physical damage or corrosion or wear and tear. So it's not any guesswork. Is that what you're saying?
Right, right. We have different electrical meters or different things to measure, and we could show the customer, if it's accessible, we can show the customer right there. If not, then we can, you know, take a picture of it, screenshot it, whatever, and put it on their invoice or proposal.
So tell me, after you've serviced a client's air conditioner, heater, or plumbing, or whatever they needed, what is the difference for your service compared to other experiences that they may have had? And I'm not asking you to name names, but what are some of the things that they're saying sets your organization apart?
I think a lot of times that what sets us apart is they feel comfortable with us. They know that we're telling them the truth. We're not a pushy salesman that's trying to push something on them, especially if it's something that they don't need. We always try to give our customers the options and let them have control of that so that they can choose what's best for their circumstances.
So they have confidence. I mean, it's like at first there's the referral, usually. Then there's the actual installation. So they get that positive experience that matches what they heard, and then it fixed the problem. So that's the whole circle. Do you have a process then of allowing them or giving them something where they can refer out, or is that something that you've noticed you have enough loyalty with customers that they'll actually be proactive and share you with their friends?
A lot of them are proactive and share us with their friends or family, but also we look for Google reviews in general. Nice. Just if they can go on and review us afterwards. And that always helps, because that's kind of the new yellow pages, if you will. You know, people aren't looking in the yellow pages. They're looking on Google and they're looking for reviews and seeing what actual people have said about us or anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That's super smart, because then you can just amplify those shared values. I mean, that's basically what one of the takeaways I have from our conversation just early on. Shared values are winning trust. Is that a fair assessment so far of what's been? Yeah,
right.
That's a big deal. You can communicate that, but if you're like, if I'm representing myself and saying I have these values, it doesn't hold a lot of weight until someone that my ideal customers already know personally shares that with them. What are some other, like, if you don't mind sharing some other business goals? I mean, what are some areas that you're growing in and some areas where you're looking to grow down the road?
Oh, we've really started growing this year and last year on purpose. We've brought on duct cleaning capabilities and AeroSeal duct sealing capabilities. And that helps us, like in this time of year during the spring, a lot of people suffer from allergies and they're looking for solutions. And part of it is duct cleaning. They want to make sure that the air in their house is clean and not bringing in any foreign materials, you know, dust and things like that, that's going to trigger their allergies. So those are two of the things that we can offer to our customers. The duct sealing is kind of a twofold. It's your energy saving, because you're not wasting that conditioned air, and also you're not pulling in any you know, outside air.
Nice. So you're expanding your services. That's awesome. So
and it helps us. I mean, there's months in Tucson where we're a little bit slower. February and November usually we're slower just because the weather's so nice.
So yeah.
If we can do the duck cleaning services and the duck sealing services and maybe capitalize on doing them in those slower months, then that helps keep everyone busy also.
Nice. And that's a big
deal. I think yours has to be one of the only businesses that I know of that slows down because of nice weather.
Right. Yeah. Nice weather is bad for us. Extremes are very good for us, either hot or cold.
So we should pray for heat, not pray for rain. Or maybe both would be even better.
Yeah. Both would be
better. So, Ron, what are some ways that your business has been able to effectively show and tell on your public-facing communications about how you help your customers, some of those shared values, and just taking that word-of-mouth marketing onto the digital space? Yeah, just some of the things that you've communicated in summary with us. Are some of those things on social media as well, or are there other places that you're in addition to this podcast, communicating digitally, that are helping draw people in and winners?
I know that you've got radio ads going.
That's true.
Yeah, we have our radio ads going. Yeah. And then the reviews do help us a lot because they kind of reinforce what we're doing out there. We do some social media things and we do some posts that reinforce not only our values, but also our services.
It's really effective, like we were saying just a minute ago, to be able to show the difference of services and to be able to show we can identify the problem, we can fix the problem, and we're not taking it further than that just to upsell. This is more than just making a buck. We're building a business on shared values. And that makes it easier to upsell, if you will. Look, we're expanding our services. We're going to do duck cleaning and duck sealing so that you have a customer base that trusts. Actually, that's a real need. It's an important service. They're not just selling us something. This is meeting a need for us.
It's kind of an interesting dynamic that I'm running across. And I think of for myself, I grew up with a camera in my hand. That's all I've ever wanted to do. That's all I can ever imagine myself doing is doing media. Was it like that for you before working for anybody else? Or how did you get into it? What was your journey there? Because I'm running into other people who are like, I don't know what that's like to have one thing that I know I'm going to do. I really don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a specific anything. So I'm curious, like, you're running a successful business. What did that look like moving into that?
I think I've always been a person that was going to end up owning a business. In high school, I took a DECA, which was kind of training you into management and getting your own business. And that was a junior and senior class.
Okay. And you really enjoyed that?
Yeah. I really did enjoy that. And then when I was 19, I went into management. I was the youngest person in management at the company. And I don't think I've ever turned back. I've always been in management since then.
Okay. Has it always been HVAC or is it just management in general?
Management in general, I think. I just ended up there. I've had a long journey. I've been a pharmacy technician. I've been a firefighter and an EMT. I've been a day trader on a day trading floor, trading stocks up in Scottsdale.
Wow.
I've done a lot of things.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been on staff at a church and I ran their, all their, what's it called? Their operations for, I'm sorry, production. I did all their production. So we live fed to three other churches and then we had the whole production with five live cameras and of course the soundboard and the stage lights and everything. So I oversaw that and I had a staff of volunteers, about 30 to 40 volunteers that I'd have to schedule and make sure that everyone was covering where they needed to cover.
Wow. So yeah. This is interesting because it's so easy for me to see another business and think, oh, their calling is whatever that business is. And this is broadening my horizon right now. Just like, it may not be a specific, I do HVAC as my calling or my work. Maybe it's more like, I'm management is my calling and management is my skill set.
Possibly, yeah, or serving. I think serving would be what I would say that I was built to do.
All right, but there's a difference here. So I've seen some people serve, but right. They have zero skill set to lead or manage a team. They have no concept of time management or schedules or anything. They're great at serving, true. But they can't manage.
Right.
And so I do think management falls under serving, because as a good leader, even Jesus says, as the best leader, you're going to be a servant.
Right.
And exactly. I like where you're going with that being having management and servanthood as kind of like your focus and your skill set. It doesn't really matter what business you're in. How do you see yourself growing in that? Do you see any continuing education in that? Or do you feel like it's kind of been, I'm good at management and I'm just going to take that where I go?
We're always doing continuing education, either if it's for our technicians, our AC technicians, our plumbers, or our management. We're always having some kind of training. My right. son, which will eventually take over the company, him and I are going in April to a big conference, and it's just 3 days of classes.
For management?
Not only technical classes, but some management classes also.
Okay.
And it's something that we do at least once a year.
Cool. I love that. What's been one of the hardest things for you to learn in management or to master in your calling?
I think one of the toughest things is if you have to have that really hard conversation with an employee, but you really like the employee. Maybe you're really ooh. Close to the employee, but, you know, maybe you have to let them go, or maybe you just have to have a really tough conversation with them. That's hard. That's hard.
Yeah.
What are some things that you found to help with that?
I think, and working at the church, that might have helped, because my pastor that was directly over me, he was kind of like the operations manager. And sometimes we had to have talks, like about some of our employee or not employees, but volunteers or the way things were going. So sometimes it was kind of rough, and that's a rough thing to have to talk to a volunteer, because they're not getting paid. You're not firing them, but sometimes you have right. to correct them or maybe cut them off.
Man.
How do you get those guidelines? How do you establish those guidelines for either when you have to have those hard conversations or you're getting buy-in to the values or the mission of an organization so that you can continue to have that same level of service and integrity, even when you're not on site for the services you provide?
Well, that's one of the things that we look for and we really strive is we're not necessarily hiring for skill, we are, but more character. We want to bring you on based on your character, and we can help train with the skills.
Right.
But if you're not a high character person to begin with, but you're a skilled person, you know, it might not work out just because our values aren't the same.
Do you have written values and other internal communication? So for example, when your son takes over, he's obviously going to bring his own personality and style into things, but he maintains that organizational guideline.
We're working on that actually, but it's something that we've been talking about for a while, and it that came from one of our management trainings that we went to in December up in Scottsdale, that we yeah. need to have our core values written out and up on the wall so everyone can see them.
Yeah. I'm curious with the core values specifically. I've worked in corporate where they had a set of core values for the company. They were all pretty abstract. Honesty, It's like, great. Like any decent human being should be trying to tell the truth. Right. It's not super actionable. Are you at a point where you can share any of your core values and how you would see them applying or see them working out in an employee?
Yeah, I haven't put them down on paper yet. So, like you, I don't want to just say honesty, integrity, you know, I want something to actually mean something. Not only to us, but to anyone else, maybe someone from the outside that would come in and say, oh, okay, they're going to stand by what they say.
Yeah.
I like that.
It's exciting to hear about your progress, and we see each other fairly often, but it's exciting to get these updates in more detail from you, Ron, because what I'm seeing is you've established your business to a very successful point, and a lot of businesses are locally owned in Tucson. But when the founder and owner moves on, for whatever reason, that business eventually phases out. But what you're talking about is something that will last beyond you and potentially for generations because of what you're developing right now. And that's the next level that I think we all want to see more local organizations achieve, for not just for the people you're hiring. It's awesome opportunity for them. The customers you're serving are going to have better service and have had better service. But also for the community as a whole, that does wonders, keeping that money local. So there's just a lot of this that we at Shadowpoint Media, correct me if I'm wrong, Logan, we love hearing these businesses get to that next level.
Yeah, to keep that sustainable growth and to see businesses continue. We believe, and most anybody else we talk to believe, that small business is the backbone of the economy.
It is.
And seeing small business grow and become a solid, steady pillar in the community is really exciting.
Yeah.
That's keeps the economy somewhat stable, hopefully.
It does. And when we hire someone, we feel that we're taking the responsibility to support them and to feed their family, basically. I mean, yeah. If you're working for me, we know that you're not here just because it's fun or something. You're here to lead, and to feed your family, you know, your responsibilities. Yeah. So we take on that responsibility of helping to feed your family.
Yeah.
I love that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We've got about 5 minutes left on here. Sean, do you have any other questions?
You know, I don't have any other questions. Just to recap, I guess. And to say again, Ron, keep rocking, man. It's so encouraging to hear this stuff, because what we hear again and again from entrepreneurs is there was something of the status quo of their industry that they either disliked or they saw untapped potential. And so they took things into their own hands. And that was that form of leadership that you were speaking to, Logan. It's service, but it's also leadership. I see the status quo needs to change. And then to continue on from there, having their shared beliefs and core values, that's really going to make it thrive long term beyond just what the entrepreneur saw back when they sparked that new beginning. So that personally gets me excited, because I know how much of a difference it makes. So that's all. I just wanted to share that. And thanks for coming on again, Ron.
I appreciate it.
Well, that'll be it for this episode. And we'll see you on one of the next ones.